you haven't seen the bathrooms, you need to go look. Rob and Sharon spent hours and hours working on that this weekend, and Cindy and my wife. But thank God for faithful people, amen. The title of this series is The Seven I Am's of Christ in the book of John. Christ used that phrase, I am, more than seven times, but only seven times metaphorically. These are seven metaphorical statements that Christ makes that were absolute, point on, displays to the nation of Israel and the leadership in Israel of his deity. And we're going to look at those seven things in the next several weeks. This morning, though, I want to introduce this topic with some background and information I think will help us better understand it. I think this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful Bible study, and I'm looking forward to it. Been studying this for some time now. So let's look and see what God says this morning. First of all, what are the seven I Am's? What are they? You want to write these down. The first is found in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Jesus, after feeding the 5,000, says to those Jewish people that were gathered there, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, we're going to look at that first part, I am, today, because it signifies, demonstrates who Christ is. So he said, I am the bread of life. He was answering a statement and a question and set the record straight, so to speak. The second I am is found in John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The Jews understood what that meant. They knew that historical truth about light. The third is found in John 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By the way, that's the verse that was preached the night I got saved. I am the door. The fourth, in the same chapter, chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The fifth, John chapter 11, you remember that chapter has to do with the raising of Lazarus. Jesus looked at Martha and said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, 25. The sixth, he speaks to his disciples who are concerned, troubled, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. And the last is found in John 15, 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So those are the seven I Am's of Christ. And each one will become a sermon and part of this series, and I hope that it will be an encouragement to you. I want you to turn to Exodus 3. And we want to look this morning at the historical significance of the name of God, I Am. I Am is abbreviated for the four-letter name of God, Jehovah. Unpronounceable. It was strictly forbidden to use that name. It was so sacred. We're in Exodus chapter 3. Moses fled Egypt. He went to Midian, a pagan nation, and he was there for 40 years. He had been trained in the education of the Egyptians. Now he goes to Midian and moves in with, ends up marrying a daughter of the priest of Midian, a pagan society, pagan religious belief system. They worship false gods. And Moses then was in Egypt for 40 years under the tutelage of the Egyptian learning system. He came to Midian for 40 years, was under the leadership of a pagan priest, the priest of Midian. And he's out for a walk. And he walks over to Mount Horeb. And he's walking up that mountain, and he sees a bush burning with fire. Except the bush wasn't consumed. There's no smoke. He could see that the bush was intact, but there was an incredible fire there, and he said, I'm going to look at this. I'm going to stop and see this thing. He took one step toward that, and there was a voice, and it was God. He said, Moses, don't you come one step closer till you take those shoes off your feet, because the ground you're walking on is holy ground. Now we're looking at chapter 3 and verse 5. And he said to Moses, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God. Of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. There's three things I want you to look at very quickly. Number one, this story that we've read was taught over and over and over and over traditionally to every new generation and subsequent generation. They knew this story backward and forward. It was not something new to them. Everyone knew it. When Jesus appeared on the scene, these people that were the religious leaders of the day nearly worshipped Moses. They quoted him on several occasions. They knew this story. This was not something hidden from them, something they didn't understand. You say, Pastor, why is that important? It's important for you to realize that this is what wasn't something that just all of a sudden came up. They understood what took place in the life of Moses in Midia when he saw this bush. It was absolutely something that the children of Israel would have taught over and over and over again. Secondly, Moses was revered by the people of Israel, especially the religious leaders. They put him way up there, higher than anyone else. These religious leaders studied the Torah. How many know what the Torah is? The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament, or we refer to them as the books of Moses. They studied it copiously. In fact, when a bar mitzvah is done, and we got to see a bar mitzvah in Israel at the Wailing Wall. When a bar mitzvah is done, a young man turns 14. He's supposed to have memorized the Torah. How many of you have that memorized? Can you imagine? That's how important it was. It was the single most important document for religious teaching in Israel. Now, all this is going to make sense when we begin to study these IMs. There's a third thing that's significant fact. The name IM was sacred to the Jewish religion. So sacred, and this is important, that to speak it was forbidden. The high priest could not speak it. The lesser priest could not speak it. It was forbidden for anyone in Israel to speak it. Jesus said it seven times. That had to be like a dart in the heart. These facts are important. Keep them in your memory when we get to our sermons on these seven things. Now I want you to notice the picture from chapter 3 of Exodus. The name I Am, it was the name that declared God's deity. It was the name that declared God's deity. Exodus 3:6. Look at these words, they're very important. Exodus 3:6 says, Moreover, he said, I am, underline the next word, the God. Not I am a God. Not I am the better God. Not I am the best God. I am the God. And the used here means the one and only God. The only one that truly exists. And so when Moses stepped onto that property, with his pagan ideology, his lack of understanding about God, and God said, I am the God. Moses nearly passed out. It shook him to the core. He hid his face. He was in shock. He was standing face to face with deity. And it shook him to the core. The first thing that Exodus 3 tells us is that the name I Am declared God's deity. Secondly, Exodus chapter 3. The name I am was the identifying name of God for Israel. It's how they identified him. It was the identifying name of God for Israel. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say, What's his name? They didn't trust Moses. They would have no trust in Moses. He wasn't a leader in Egypt to the children of Israel. He was part of their problem. He would not have been someone they would have looked to follow. So Moses comes to the children of Israel and says, The God of your father sent me unto you. They said, Oh yeah, what's his name? Moses didn't know. If God wouldn't have said anything from this point on, Moses would have been stuttering. Probably would not have gone. He had no concept of what to say or how to say it. What's his name? The name for God used here in Exodus is the identifying mark for the children of Israel. They knew exactly what that meant. There's a third thing. I am is the name that declares what God is in and of himself. Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, when he said, Who do I say is sending me? What's his name? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Not I am what I was. I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. They would get that message. They would understand that principle. It's the name that declares what he is in and of himself. Let me give you this. He is self-existent. He exists in and of himself. He wasn't created. He wasn't made. He has always been. And his existence is in and of himself. That's why he said, I am that I am. It proves his self-existence. Secondly, it proves that he is exactly himself, eternal and complete. There's no God like him. He is eternal and complete. Nothing can be added to him. Nothing can be taken from him. Nothing can make him better than he is. Nothing can make him less than he was. He is eternal and complete. Thirdly, he is inexhaustible. I love that word. He is you can't exhaust. If you thought the deepest thoughts you have about God, you haven't even bumped up against it. God is inexhaustible. We can't conceive in our little peanut brain how great he is. How big he is. He is inexhaustible, and I put this, self-sufficient. doesn't need any help. When he looked at Moses and said, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent me unto you. He was saying, they don't need another thing. I've showed up. Moses, you just go and do what I tell you to do, and it's going to take care of itself. There's a fourth thing under this picture. He is the same. You need to write this down, because to say it, you need to write this down. He is the same as he was. He is the same as he is. And he is the same as he ever shall be, all God's people said. You can't say that about anybody but God. He's the same as he was. He's the same as he is. He's the same as he ever shall be. I am. I am. I'm trying to point out to you the importance of this name and what it means and what it signifies. Children of Israel weren't stupid. They knew that. When Christ stood up in the midst of those rulers and leaders and those people and said, I am. They were shocked to the core. In fact, on a couple occasions, they wanted to take his life because he made himself equal with God. I am hath sent me unto you. There's another picture. Fourth, it was the name that delivered, or his redemptive name, Exodus 3:8. I am come down to deliver. That word deliver, it would be like us saying today, redeem. I am coming down to deliver thee out of the hand of the Egyptians. God's bringing Israel out of Egypt is a wonderful picture of redemption. The children of Israel knew that. They understood that. It was the name that delivered. The redemptive work of God to bring his children out of Egypt. Number five, Exodus 3:17. And I have said, underline that phrase, and I have said. The Hebrew word for I have said is the word promised. That's important. I have promised. I have promised. I have promised I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, out of the land of the under the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. I have promised. That goes all the way back to Abraham. I have promised. It was the name of promise. God promised Abraham he would bring him to a land. He's now fulfilling that through Moses' leadership to bring them to a land. It was necessary for them to go to the land for God to set up his kingdom under the leadership of those leaders in Israel. It was necessary for them to be in that land in order for his prophecy to be fulfilled, that there would come a governor out of Judah, a savior, a deliverer. One last thing. Why are these seven statements so important? These metaphorical statements by Christ, why are they so important? Let me give you three reasons. Number one, they're important because they declare who he was. Who was Christ? A good man? A faulty leader, failed, man who failed in his expectations. Who was Christ? God. Declares who he was. And he stood there in the midst of these people on seven occasions and said, I am the bread. I am the light. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Declares who he was. Why are they important? Number two, it declares why he came. Amen? Why did he say, I am the bread? It's a picture of the true bread. Why did he say, I am the light? It's a picture of the true light. Why did he say, I am the door? Because it's a picture of the true door, the true shepherd, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the true vine. Declares why he came. Why did he come? To give light, to give bread, to give people eternal life, to promise them a resurrection, to be their leader, their example, their all in all. Why did he come? I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Then the third thing, why are these important? Nowhere in the New Testament, did you see Jesus flexing his muscles? One time he got angry and drove people out of the temple. But nowhere do you see him fighting back, bringing judgment down upon people. You don't find that. But I think these names declare his great power. Because the greatest picture of power in the life of Christ was going to a cross, dying, shedding his blood, laying in a grave 3 days, and then triumphantly raising from the dead, ascending to heaven, and someday coming back with power and great glory. What an incredible picture. Don't forget these pictures in the third chapter of Exodus, because they will come into play when we talk about these seven I Ams. There's so much here. There's great history connected to these seven sayings. There's great custom and practice connected to these seven sayings. We'll connect the dots. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you as it's been a blessing to me, as we learn about Christ as he stands there and makes these seven statements of affirmation, these metaphors that say, I am. Lord, help us to love you, serve you, and picture you properly. God, may we lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen.